Call the Jobs, Agriculture, and Rural Development Committee to order. Today is Monday, March 9th, 2015. And please let the record state that we do have a quorum. We have four items on the agenda today. I believe first we're going to bring up the confirmation of Commissioner Peterson, hearing for the Department of Labor and Industry. And then we'll move on to Senator Eakin, Senator Schmidt, and Senator Sparks have bills all dealing with the Department of Labor and Industry today. So, Commissioner, welcome to the committee. And
Mr. Chairman, members, thank you very much. I'm very happy to be reappointed and very honored to be reappointed by the governor to be commissioner. I've been serving as in that position of the department for the last 4 years, and previously I'd served in the department back in the late 1880s. Oh, whoa. late 1980s. And it's a real honor. It's a good group of people. As you all know, we're a regulatory department, and we try to enforce the laws as best we can that you've assigned, and also try to do a better job or a good job of educating people. I'm particularly proud of the work we've done in terms of improving our responses to people. We've done a very good job on electronic transmission of licenses, records, and that sort of thing, and taking first reports of injuries. We've made substantial improvements there. And another area we're particularly proud of is the work we've done with enlarging the apprenticeships. That when we took office, in part due to the construction, in large part due to the construction downturn, there we had about 7,000 apprentices. Now we have 9,200 or 9,300, and we're those entering apprenticeships, a higher and higher percentage are now women and minorities. We're very happy with that, trying to do something to spread those good jobs around to have other people take advantage of it. So the biggest challenges we have in the future are working with stabilizing medical costs for workers' comp, working on the future, we're in the middle of negotiations right now on that subject. We're working in the future of apprenticeships and with the so-called pipeline system, which Senator Bonoff's working on. She can't be here now. She had another meeting, but that's a big challenge for us. And the last year, the legislature, as you know, passed the Women's Economic Security Act and the minimum wage. And so we've been doing a lot of educating that in those areas and letting people know the importance of complying with the law as you folks have set them out. I think we have a good department. I think we have very good staff. The people in the department, it's kind of a blue-collar group of people, and they work very hard. They earn their money. And I'm particularly happy with my deputy commissioner, Jessica Lumen, assistant commissioner, Chris Liefeld, and the other people we have on the staff. And they're do very good. But there's one other thing I wanted to mention, Mr. Chairman, before you go on. Last time when I appeared before this committee, I was with three other commissioners who were also got appointments. I was the first one. And then I went through this stuff, and then you approved me. And then the other ones took office. But they all stood up and thanked their husbands or their wives. And, of course, my wife was here. She's not here now, but she was here then, and I didn't say a word about her. So in the event that at some future point she's reviewing the minutes of this meeting or listening to the archives 20 years from now or whatever it is, I want to make it very clear that my wife's been very supportive of my career, and I love her dearly, and she's a great person, and I should have talked about her 2 or 3 years ago. But I would like to be confirmed. Mr. Chairman and members, and certainly open to any questions we have.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner. Any questions for the Commissioner members? Well, Commissioner, I just want to thank you. I think that you're doing a good job. I wish you luck. I know that you've been working hard on that work comp issue, and I wish you success. I know that many of your predecessors have tried to move that needle, and I think we're closer than ever. So to the extent that we can help, or if you can put that together, we sure would be appreciative of that. But thank you for all your hard work to even get us to this point. So
thank you, sir.
Any further questions for the commissioner members? If not, Senator Schmidt moves the confirmation of Ken Peterson as the commissioner of the Department of Labor and Industry to the Senate floor with recommendation to confirm. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? No. The motion prevails. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members.
And I think, Senator Eakin, are you ready? Let's do Senate File 1462. And just go ahead whenever you're ready, Senator Eakin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Senate File 1462 is a bill from the Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry. What it does is it's proposing to change a provision in the statute to the Safe Patient Handling Act, which passed 8 years ago. And it did pass with bipartisan support and was signed into law by Governor Pawlenty. The Safe Patient Handling Act requires nursing homes and hospitals to provide nurses and other care providers with proper training in lifting patients and to be trained in the use of lift equipment. This bill would apply these same requirements to any health care provider based on their job duties as outlined by the NAICS codes identified in the bill, and that's the North American Industry Classification System. So you're basically doing it not based on the location, but based on the duties that the individual has. And the result would be continued declines in workers' comp claims made by the health providers because it would result in less injuries due to lifting patients. And I do have with me John Rakowski from the Department of Labor and Industry to testify to it as well.
Okay. Mr. Rakowski, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. John Rakowski with the Department of Labor and Industry. As you know, for those of you in the summer and fall, when we get questions and suggestions from our various divisions, our OSHA folks wanted to revisit the Safe Patient Handling Act. Even though we continue to see declines in workplace reported injuries per thousand, they felt it would be really important with the surge in the last 10, 15 years, especially the assisted living facilities. They're advertising a lot on the radio, and there's been a big outgrowth in that. And so they started looking at how to apply this to other facilities and nursing homes and hospitals, but it just didn't work that way because, as for those of you who have elderly parents or relatives, you live in an assisted living facility, that's actually your home. And so OSHA does not have any authority to go into folks' homes, you know, and do inspections, obviously. So we put our thinking caps back on. We decided to look at it from the worker's perspective. And if the worker duties involve handling the lifting of a patient into a bath or a bed or whatever, then the training would be required. The training, my understanding from the OSHA consultants, is something they can do online, so it's relatively easy. And it's I've actually gone to a workshop, and there I have a father-in-law who requires a lot of assistance getting in and out of his wheelchair. And there's a lot of things you can do to prevent back injuries. And then the one thing I wanted to make sure you all knew, when we passed the Safe Patient Handling Act in 07, included in that were the ability for the providers to get what are called, they can do matching grants through our assigned risk safety account at OSHA, and it's a matching grant of up to $10,000 to help defray the costs of any lift equipment. My understanding is that depending on the sophistication of the lift equipment, you know, it can be a few thousand dollars, but in the homes, I suspect they're a lot less. So if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay. Senator Weber.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess my question basically deals with the nursing home situation. I mean, my mother went into the nursing home the day before I was sworn in office a couple years ago, so I understand that. They have an apparatus there for the lifting out of bed and this type of thing. The main thing I'm a little concerned about is that our nursing homes are reeling under a raft of requirement and paperwork and this type of thing. And really, what does this mean for them in that regard?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Weber, if you're referring to nursing homes, it's already required. And like you said, they already have the equipment, so it wouldn't be a cost to nursing homes at all.
Okay.
Did that answer your question, Senator Weber? Okay. Senator Nelson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Senator Ekin, this is another great bill of yours that I have the pleasure of hearing you describe today. I do have just a couple questions, and you might have addressed this, but would this apply, this training, to things like memory care units or assisted living, housing with services, that type of, is that the intended audience?
Mr. Rakowski?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Nelson, it's a great question. Yeah, it was. That's sort of how we originally envisioned it. My aunt is just had a birthday. She's 95, and she's in a memory care in Hopkins. She does not require any assistance. She still gets about. She's just, you know, not there up here. So, again, it depends. My recollection, I don't think I saw anybody in her facility in wheelchairs because of memory care, you know, Alzheimer's, not necessarily. But if they, and also if a patient, you know, is 110 pounds, I don't know if that would automatically require the training or not. I did talk to a home health care provider who works for a company, I believe it's, I can't remember, but they have several group homes in the Twin Cities. And she has about 7 disabled, developmentally disabled adults in the home. And one of them, she said, oh, we already do this. I've been trained by my employer, and we have lift equipment. And I said, well, that's great. It's, you know, the employer's doing the right thing. And the reason is they had one of their patients was a 33-year-old gentleman with brain injury and MS, and he was 7 feet tall. So it took 3 of them to, you know, assist him. So I'm sure insurance, the folks who, you know, write insurance policies for these folks, you know, make them aware that this is a good deal. The injuries have gone down in the last 7 years by about 20 per thousand. So that's good news.
Okay. Senator Nelson.
Mr. Chair, thank you very much for that clarification. I see this as a very needed piece of legislation. I've seen this myself. My father has Alzheimer's and started in a memory care unit and was ambulatory, but of course as Alzheimer's progresses, right, that's not the case. And it became evident that in that particular facility, the staff had not been trained how to properly help position him. At that point, he could, you know, move with some assistance. And I vividly recall one of the few times that he could speak. He spoke to them, to the staff that was trying to help pull him up out of the wheelchair, saying, don't pull on my shoulders. Mm-hmm. So I think this, as we have more and more elderly, 10,000 baby boomers hitting 65 each and every day for the next 19 years. That's young.
You had to mention that.
I know, that's very young. But all of these things, Alzheimer's increases at age 65, and all of, and so the point is, we just have we have an aging population, and I think it's essential. And we have many more, fortunately, we have many more places for people to age. Mm-hmm. It's not just nursing homes anymore. We have many more consumer options and choices for individuals. But many individuals are going to need help in transferring. And I think it's essential that not just, I know you're thinking about the workers' comp staff, but I'm thinking also for the clients. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a really great piece of legislation. And I see you have room on here, Senator Ekin. I'll be adding my name once you get this out of committee. But I can see why this is so needed.
Thank you very much. Any further questions or comments for Senator Ekin? Okay. If not, then Senator Schmidt will move that Senate File 1462 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Omnibus Labor and Industry Policy Bill. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, no. The motion prevails. Thank you very much, Senator Ekin. Senator Schmidt, you ready? Senate File 1381. Senator Schmidt?
Okay.
All right, well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. We have a familiar face back with us here with Senate File 1381. Above all, this is a Department of Labor and Industry housekeeping bill, and they're proposing several minor changes to the combative sports statutes, as well as several redundant or out-of-date repealers. Could take you through the bill here, but just in general, in Article 1, it deals specifically with the combative sports statute. And in Sections 1, we have definitions regarding martial artists. Sections 2 through 6, definitions related to what constitutes a contest. In Section 7, it deals with jurisdiction for the commissioner regarding the lengths of license revocations in some cases. And then Sections 8 through 12, we're dealing with licensing, pre-licensing, and various application requirements. Getting into fee schedule provisions in Section 13. And then finally, Section 14 of Article 1 deals with physical examination requirements. We have Article 2, which should be some familiar language, actually. This was brought before the committee last year regarding the apprenticeship clarifications. And this language was removed inadvertently last year. We'd like to replace it and put it back into statute. And then finally, in Article 3 here, we have the removal of some obsolete or redundant statutes. So I would defer to Mr. Rakowski on any details regarding the bill, but that's a general overview of what we're trying to accomplish here.
Thank you, Senator Schmidt. Mr. Rakowski?
Senator, I'll just stand for some questions. If anybody has any questions, I will remind the committee that this bill was carried by the chairman last year, and it passed the Senate. It was laid over in the House. This is why we're back again this year. And the only new article is the apprenticeship clarification. We renewed some language that had been inadvertently omitted from our rewrite of our apprenticeship law last year.
Okay.
All the rest is the same as the bill was presented to you last year.
Okay. Members, any questions for Senator Schmidt? Senator Dames.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Schmidt, on page 5, you have Section 13 starts with a fee schedule. And I noticed that the referees, for instance, $80 and for each initial license and each renewal was crossed out. So just how is that $80 for what time period or what is that actually going to cover?
Senator Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Dames. I'll defer to Mr. Rakowski on that question. And I also do have a proposed author's amendment perhaps for this section that we'd like to just discuss if you can.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, if you have an interest in moving on this bill today, there is an opportunity for us in this section here to remove some language on lines 6 and 7 under paragraph A that would prevent this language from having to go to the Finance Committee.
Oh, okay.
So if you'd like to do that today, if we're acting on the bill, if you're just going to lay it over, of course you can clean it up.
I think we can fix it up if that's okay. Let's deal with Senator Dames' question first, and we can come back to that. Okay, Senator Schmidt?
Sounds good.
Okay. Mr. Rakowski, did you understand Senator Dames' question?
Senator, were you referring to the proposed reduction or all the strikes?
5.28, page 5, line 5.28, number 1, for instance, just says referees $80, and then for each additional or each initial license and each renewal is crossed out. So what is this $80? What are you getting for $80?
Mr.
Rakowski.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dames, that's the annual license fee. And we struck out each additional license and renewal because they really don't renew their license. They apply for a new one every year, and it's per calendar year.
So, Senator Dames?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, John.
Senator Schmidt, we got some time. Why don't we go back, and if we can fix the bill up a little bit here today, why don't we go ahead and do that? It might make our job easier when we bring it back.
Yeah, as I had mentioned, Mr. Chair, if we were to remove line 6.2 and 6.3, from page 6. My understanding is that would keep this bill from going to the Finance Committee. It would be simply a policy bill. This was brought to us from Senate staff earlier today.
Okay. Does that make sense?
And my understanding is this is identical language that is included in the separate budget bill.
Can you restate that?
I guess he's having a little trouble tracking you, Senator Schmidt. Can you just give him the page and
sure.
line number again?
So page 6 and then line 6.2. And 6.3.
What are we doing? We're totally deleting this.
And you just want to delete it?
Per advice from Senate counsel earlier today, if we were to remove those lines, this would not have to go to finance. And this bill would simply be policy. So that is what I would propose, is just removing those lines. This language is contained in a separate budget bill.
Dan Mueller?
Yeah, it came from Mr. Mueller.
Okay. But go ahead, Mr. Fuller.
Mr. Chairman, it's not a big deal, but on line two, I mean, we're striking old language. So are we restoring the old language then and deleting the new language, or is Mr. Mueller here? No, he's got a broken foot. So
No.
We understand. Yeah. I think the proposal today would be simply to remove those two lines and be silent on that. There is identical language in the budget bill that would clarify this matter. Yeah. Just keep this bill from going to the Finance Division.
So restore the
working off large.
Mr. Fuller?
I guess it's on page 6.2, restore the 100, so don't strike that, and delete the 70. And then on line 3, we're just deleting the language then?
Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Fuller, you could delete the language or just the number itself.
Yeah. Or you would just delete the whole line.
Just the 50?
No, the whole line.
Yeah, we'll delete the whole line, I guess.
Okay.
That's fine with me.
You comfortable with that? Senator Dames.
Oh, Mr. Chair and Senator Schmidt, is there some reason you don't want this to go to finance?
Well, the language
Senator
is,
Schmidt.
Mr. Chair and Senator Dames, there's no reason at all aside from just logistics and saving the committee some time. This bill is a policy bill throughout the rest of the bill. And so if we were to remove this language, which is included in a separate budget bill, it would save the committee the process of having to deal with it.
Mr. Fuller.
Yes, I understand it now, because all the other fees are the old fees. And so what we do is then, as we stated on line 2, restore the 100, delete the 70, delete line 3, and then renumber the remaining clauses.
Mm-hmm. You comfortable with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Members understand what Senator Schmidt's trying to do here? Any discussion on the Schmidt oral amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? No. The motion prevails. The oral amendment is adopted. Okay. Any further questions for Senator Schmidt on Senate File 1381? If not, thank you, Senator Schmidt. I think what we'll do then, too, is just lay this bill over for possible inclusion as well in the Omnibus Department of Labor and Industry Policy Bill. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. The motion prevails. The bill is passed, or laid on the table, Senate File 1381. Thank you, Senator Schmidt. Gary, you want to do this? Gary, you want this?
Welcome, Senator Sparks, to your committee. If you want to present Senate File 1371.
Mr. Chair and members, thank you for the opportunity to discuss Senate File 1371, which is, again, the Department of Labor and Industries Construction Code and License Housekeeping and Policy Bill. I do have an amendment. I believe it's the A15 amendment, author's amendment, that members should have, I believe.
Could this amendment be passed out, or do we already has it already been passed out?
I don't see it.
I don't have it.
I don't see it. The members don't have it, so if we could have that passed out. While they're passing it out, do you want to explain the amendment, the A15 amendment, to Senator Sparks?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I can explain the author's amendment. We're doing two things here. One, we're deleting a proposal relating to continuing education, and we're essentially substituting in a requirement that would allow the department to take enforcement action against an individual who is a qualifying person for a residential building contractor license. It's kind of in tandem with another section of the bill that accomplishes the same thing, but we needed two pieces in order to accomplish that.
Thank you, Mr. Durenberger. If it's all right, we'll go ahead. While we're with the committee, we will go ahead and we will act on the bill as if it we've passed the amendment. And as soon as we get a copy of the amendment, then we'll go ahead and pass the amendment. So, Senator Sparks, if you'd like to go ahead.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Appreciate that. And I apologize that we didn't have that amendment, but we'll certainly get that to members. This is primarily the same bill, other than the changes that Mr. Durenberger just talked about, that we passed out of this committee and off the Senate floor last year. The bill, however, got delayed in the House, and we were not able to get it to the governor's office last year. As the title indicates, the bill is mostly cleanup of the statute. There is some new language that will allow licenses with the agency to purchase continuous bonds rather than having to renew them every 2 years. And Charlie's here again, Charlie Durenberger, the Director of Enforcement and Licensing at the Department, to offer more information on the bill, to remind members what's in the bill, and then ask any questions or answer any questions that the committee may have. So if it's okay with you, Mr. Chair, I'd turn it over to Mr. Durenberger.
Well, thank you, Senator Sparks. And Mr. Durenberger, if you would identify your name for the record and continue with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Charlie Durenberger. I'm an assistant director at the Department of Labor and Industries Construction Codes and Licensing Division. And as Senator Sparks indicated, I'm in charge of licensing and enforcement. And that's primarily what we're doing with this bill is cleaning up some issues relating to obsolete references to statute. And our main goal is to allow businesses who are licensed with our department to renew their licenses as quickly and easily as possible. And one of the burdens that our licensees have had in the past in renewing a business license is the requirement that they provide a brand new bond, which is like three documents and signatures have to match up and dates have to go in a particular sequence. And we've had a lot of problems with insurance agents sometimes getting confused with these licensees on exactly how this stuff all lays out. So we're going to have, if this passes, one time contractor provides us with a bond, and we will presume then that that bond is in force forever until we get a notice of cancellation from the surety company by certified mail. So there's no question that we were notified of the cancellation, and then we would contact the licensee at that point and let them know they need to get the bond taken care of. But it would takes away the burden on the insurance agent and the licensee to have to produce this new bond every 2 years, and then our staff have to review it and deal with frequent deficiencies that we'd find in these bonds. Other than that, and the issue with the taking enforcement action against a qualifying person, I think that most of it's pretty mundane, but I would be more than happy to answer any questions that members would have.
Well, thank you, Mr. Durenberger. Senator Sparks, do you have anybody else would like to testify on behalf of the bill?
Mr. Chair, no, that's the end of our testimony.
Are there any testifiers in the audience that would like to testify? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and open it up to the committee if there are any questions. We should have the amendment in just a minute, so I think we better officially wait till we get the amendment, and then we can move the amendment and then move the bill, Senator Sparks. But I think we better get a copy of the amendment.
No, I agree, Mr. Chair.
Be just a minute.
Mr. Chair, would that be the sprinkler amendment?
Probably coming.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Was that your oral amendment, Senator? Senator Sparks, would you consider that as a friendly or non-friendly amendment?
I think we're going to have a vote.
True politician, we'll have a vote. The amendments have been passed out. This is an author's amendment to get the bill in the shape that the author would like it to be moved forward. So with that said, we will vote on the author's amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Senator Sparks, you renew your motion to move Senate File 1371 as amended to be laid over for possible inclusion in the Omnibus Labor and Industry Policy Bill.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
That completes the business of for today, and the meeting is adjourned.
Just, you know, over meeting on the TV.